This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Is the password dead? Well, that's what we will be discussing today with Richard Reiner. He's the Chief Technology Officer for TrueKey by Intel Security. Richard is also a Crunch Network contributor and has recently wrote an article about the future of web and mobile authentication on TechCrunch. Richard, welcome to the show. We're seeing a whole bunch of new technologies now in 2016, especially after Consumer Electronics Show, CES, and some of the crazy stuff that we're building today for the world tomorrow. But let's go back to the basics first. Passwords, it's something that has been around for a very long time, ever since the digital world came about. Is the password going to die this year?
Well, Jeff, I wish the password were ready to die this year. I wish we were ready for that to happen. I think there are a few things that need to take place before we can do away with passwords completely. We're still going to be living with them for a little while, but I think this may be a year in which we can make living with them a little bit easier than it used to be.
Now, each year we hear news of massive data breaches, and passwords are frequently the target that gets leaked out. And however, surely these passwords and login details are not just sort of stored in a notepad or something that attackers could just see right away when they get into these kind of systems and platforms, right?
Well, that's right. At least when you're talking about websites and mobile app operators who are following the best practices for how they should be storing passwords, they really shouldn't be storing the password at all. They should be storing a scrambled version of it, which would allow them to recognize whether the user has given the right password, but it wouldn't allow the password to be read out directly, even if someone were able to steal their database. Unfortunately, it happens from time to time that even large companies don't get that right and actually are storing the passwords in a way that exposes them if bad guys get their hands on it.
Is this because it's difficult to do, be encrypted?
It's not. It's quite straightforward. It's a well-known process. It's just unfortunate that sometimes companies don't get it right.
But there are sort of better forms of authentications that are available today. I mean, our phones, for example, they've got biometric scanners to scan our fingerprints to make purchases via in-apps. So why are we still using the passwords then?
Well, there are lots of biometrics available. There are fingerprint scanners on some of our phones. You can do facial recognition over the camera on a phone or on a laptop. There's voice recognition that people may be familiar with from when they call into their banking sites. That's one place where that's often used. There are iris scans. There are lots of different biometrics, which is great, but it's also part of the problem. There isn't a single biometric. There isn't just one from that list that is available everywhere. And if people need to be able to log into many different things, and they need to be able to do that in many different places and on many different devices and in different situations. There might be bright light, it might be dark, it might be a noisy environment, it might be a quiet environment, they might have their hands full. There isn't a single biometric that you could use everywhere that works in all those situations.
And so
that's been the main hurdle.
And what about, standardization? Is that also an issue? No one's sort of really leading the forth and, taking control and saying that, this should be the next generation of passwords.
There are some industry groups that are getting together and working on that problem. So it does have some attention. There isn't, a single consensus solution that's emerged yet. So you're right that's still something that's a work in progress.
So what are the key ingredients, for web and mobile authentication for the future then, since, we're not quite ready yet for, biometrics?
Well, I think biometrics are part of the answer. They're just not the whole answer by themselves. If you think about what would you need in a solution that can eventually replace passwords, it's got to be something you can use on every device. It's got to be something you can use in every situation. Ideally, it should be something that allows you to scale up and down. You're often trading off convenience versus security. There might be some low-risk situations, let's say someone is logging on to social media or something like that, where you need some security. You don't want just anyone getting in there, but you don't need, you don't need bank vault-level security. On the other hand, if you're logging on to your bank account and you're going to move some funds around, you probably want a much higher level of security. The higher level of security often takes more work or requires more time and effort on the part of the user. So it would be nice if the solution could, do simple, easy authentication for low-risk situations and then do the heavyweight stuff for the higher risk situations. You know, there are a couple of other things you'd like to see in the solution, but those are the real basics. Mm. And finding a way to combine those is a big part of the challenge.
I'm speaking to Richard Reiner. He's the Chief Technology Officer for TrueKey by Intel Security. And we are finding out if passwords will be obsolete this year. We'll be continuing this discussion in just a moment. BFM 89.9. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu, and I'm speaking to Richard Reiner. He's the Chief Technology Officer for TrueKey by Intel Security, and we're finding out if passwords will be obsolete this year. Unfortunately, the answer is no. However, there are ways that we can sort of eliminate the pain that goes into passwords. Let's stick with biometrics first, Richard. What I've always been interested is, you know, what happens when, you know, it does get compromised? You know, fingerprints, data does get leaked out. You know, because fingerprints is something that we can't change. What happens if we do rely too much on fingerprints then?
Right. Well, so when a system has your fingerprint, they are typically, I mean, what they should be doing is they should not be storing an image of your finger. I mean, that would be just as bad as, you know, we talked earlier about sites that don't get it right and they store the password instead of a scrambled version of the password. That's the wrong way to do it. The right way to do it is to store something which would enable the fingerprint to be recognized but not reproduced. So that to a great extent mitigates that problem, because even if someone is able to obtain the fingerprint template, it's called, which is what enables a fingerprint to be recognized, it wouldn't allow someone to impersonate you.
But there was a story last year, if I'm not mistaken, about, you know, in the US where, you know, fingerprint data was stolen. But I'm guessing it is still encrypted in what you're trying to say then.
Yes. I mean, encryption is how it's done. It's called cryptographic hashing. That's the technical term that describes how you can take a fingerprint image, you extract the key information that's needed to recognize that, you store that in a form that enables the fingerprint to be recognized, but it doesn't allow you to impersonate the finger. So you can't use that data and recreate a picture of the finger and from that, you know, make a plastic dummy or something and then press that on a fingerprint reader and get in.
Well, the other solution is called a multi-factor authentication. What's the potential here with multi-factor?
Well, so, you know, I was talking before about the need to pull together lots of different biometric factors, make it work on every device, make it scalable so it can handle simple versus complex high-security authentication. That's multi-factor authentication. Multi-factor means you're using many different factors like different biometrics. And there are other kinds of factors that are really interesting also. Besides biometrics, you can authenticate a user. If I know, for example, that you're on your home Wi-Fi network, that tells me something. And if I know that you're using your laptop, not some other computer, it's your personal laptop, and there are technologies that are in the CPUs which enable the device, the laptop, to be authenticated to prove what laptop it is. And, you know, there are other factors like maybe you've got a Bluetooth wearable, you've got a smartwatch or even some Bluetooth speakers. If I can gather that information from the environment, these kinds of contextual factors, if I know it's your Wi-Fi and it's your laptop and your smartwatch is nearby and all you're doing is logging on to Pinterest, you know, maybe that's enough and I don't need to bother you to do a fingerprint authentication or a face match or anything like that. So a multi-factor authentication system, and you know, TrueKey by Intel Security is exactly that. That's a system that combines all these things to give you the highest level of convenience and a scalable level of security so you can be as convenient as possible for the simple situations and very highly secure for the high-risk situations. And you get all of that together supporting multiple biometrics, all these contextual factors, in one system.
So then, is there a trade-off for being, you know, extremely user-friendly and, you know, sort of requires absolutely nothing much on our end to log into the web for, you know, the mobile in the future if it's, you know, it's this easy?
Well, you know, if you were trying to build a system with just one authentication factor, that would be really difficult. It would either be convenient or it would be secure. It's difficult to do both. Mm. But in a multi-factor system like TrueKey, where you've got passive factors that don't require any effort on the part of the user, and you have a whole series of biometrics and other kinds of authenticators, the system can apply a policy, the system can take a look at the situation, what device is this user using, what circumstances are they in, what is the app that they're logging onto, and it can find a solution that is the most convenient solution possible for the user while still being secure enough for that situation.
Richard, you're also the Chief Technology Officer for TrueKey at Intel Security. Perhaps you could start off by explaining first, what is TrueKey at Intel Security all about?
Well, TrueKey is a solution for consumers, which provides a multi-factor authentication. So users can log on with their faces, with fingerprints, with many other factors. It's a multi-factor authentication system that we were talking about before. And what's available today at TrueKey.com is an app that you can download. It runs on Windows, on Mac, on iOS, and on Android, so on all the major platforms. And it doesn't eliminate passwords today, but it eliminates the pain of passwords. So it understands how to automatically log users in on websites and on mobile apps, and it remembers the passwords users use for those sites. When you unlock your TrueKey, which you can do by having it recognize your face, for example, or with a fingerprint or in other ways, then once it's unlocked, it will automatically log you in sites and apps that you need to access. All you have to do is go to the site. TrueKey will pop up and take care of logging you in. You no longer have to deal with those passwords. You no longer have that, difficult, challenging, somewhat painful experience of having long lists of difficult passwords that you've got to remember. TrueKey does that for you.
And what about hardware? I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff on Intel with RealSense technology, and it's something that perhaps could be used for security as well. Is that also possible?
Absolutely. So RealSense provides a 3D camera, and if you've got a 3D camera that can actually see in three dimensions, it's not just taking a flat picture, you can use that to do even better kinds of biometrics. So you can do facial recognition with any camera. You can do really high-quality facial recognition with a 3D camera. So when TrueKey has a RealSense camera available to it, you've got facial recognition at an even higher security level than you would otherwise.
Hackers, they're always finding new and innovative ways, and they're now sort of collaborating among each other to sort of outsmart any security system or solution. Would this be the case as well in the future? I mean, security always playing catch-up with, these hackers.
Well, I don't think hackers are going to disappear. They will always be out there, and they're definitely a challenge to the designers of any security system. I mean, the way I think about it, we're not playing catch-up. We're designing our system by doing careful analysis in advance of how, what are all the possible ways that hackers could attack this thing, and we're designing it so that it will resist those attacks. And we have a dedicated team within the TrueKey product group that does nothing but that. They think about, how will hackers attack our system? What are we doing to make that, unsuccessful for the hacker? And we put a lot of effort, we put a lot of energy into doing that, and I think we're managing to stay ahead.
Well, I guess, Richard, the million-dollar question is then, so will passwords ever disappear?
I think one day they will. In the short term, I think what will happen is that some of the pain of using passwords will go away for users, and TrueKey is a solution that can offer that to users today. In the long term, we've been doing a lot of thinking about how to completely get rid of the password, and I do think we'll get there, but maybe not this year.
I've been speaking to Richard Reiner. He's the Chief Technology Officer for TrueKey by Intel Security, and we were finding out if passwords will be obsolete this year. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.